He said, pray in this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, or make your name holy. So even in our prayers, he told us, look, when you go to pray, the effectiveness of prayer is this. Are we making his name holy in the earth? Or are we living unholy, but then adding Jesus' name to it? I can do it my way and just add Jesus' name to it. So our scripture that we used before I get into it was Isaiah 9:6. And it says, for unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called. That word called means proclaimed. So his name will be proclaimed as Wonderful, Counselor. Now, no one in scripture or nowhere in scripture did anyone ever call him Wonderful. When he had interactions with the Pharisees, they said, who do you think you are? Isn't he Jesus, the son of Joseph? They didn't call him Wonderful. They didn't call him Counselor. They didn't call him Mighty God. They didn't call him Everlasting Father. They didn't even call him Prince of Peace. But the scripture said that his name would be called those things. So what that means is that the name is a little bit deeper than what we think. Because in America, and what we do in scripture, or when we read the Bible, and it's, we can't help it because it's a default mode, is we Americanize the Bible. Where are you from, sir? Haiti. You from Atlanta? Where you from, Jay? Carolina. Okay, when you read the Bible by default, you read it according to how you grew up. According to your environment. By default. That is how you read the Bible. If you hear someone talking about a goat and you've never seen a goat in scripture, then you have no recollection. You have no understanding of that. But if you're from a farm like Chad, you know what a goat is. Okay, you know what a sacrifice is. You know what a slaughterhouse is. But if you've never, ever seen or heard that, you don't know what it means. So by default, everything that we read, it comes through our environment. So whenever we hear about the name, we automatically think what? The title of a person. But in scripture, that's not what the name means. The name means his reputation. It means his fame. It means his glory. It means his name, his quality. Everything that you can think of when you think of God, whether you're talking about joy, whether you're talking about peace, whether you're talking about love, whether you're talking about excellence, whether you're talking about glory, whether you're talking about power, strength, understanding, wisdom, all of that sums up his name. So when it said that his name would be called Wonderful, they were saying that his name, he was miraculous. Not only in his works that he did, but he was miraculous in his very own, the conception, the way in which he was brought to this earth. He was wonderful. They called him Counselor because he, as God's son, understood the plan of God. So they were saying there's going to be this wonderful counselor that was going to be revealing the name of God in earth. And so we talked about last week that we inherit the name to inherit the kingdom. But you only have as much of the kingdom and the blessings of God in your life as you line up with his name. Y'all quiet. I should be used to this, right? Okay. So on today, our title of our message is going to be The Name Conundrum. The name conundrum. Now, even if you ever notice this symbol. What is this symbol right here? What is this? Anyone know what that is? A what? Okay, it's a fingerprint. And it represents the fingerprint of God. It represents the fingerprint of God. Now, as individuals, we all have our own fingerprints. Individually, we have our own fingerprint. No one in here has the same fingerprint. But in God, we have one fingerprint. We all represent him. His name becomes our identity. That's how we are a family. Because his name becomes our new identity. We're going to get into it. Now, the name conundrum. Now, a conundrum is an intricate or a difficult thing. It's a puzzle. And what I want to present to you on today is that the name is a puzzle. It's difficult for us to understand because why? We are from America and we are used to names being the title of an individual. What is his name? What is her name? What is my name? My name is McKinley. We are used to presenting name in that manner. It is a riddle whose answer involves or is a pun. So we have to understand that the name of Jesus is not the name. So it's not J-E-S-U-S that carries the power. And I'm going to prove it to you. Now, another thing I'm going to show you on today is how scripture flows through my mind. If you have a gift, it's something that you can't control, that God has given you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so I wake up at 3:00 in the morning, and God is just connecting scriptures, just connecting scriptures. Some from Isaiah, with some from Revelations, with some from the book of Matthew. This is going on in my head. That's how you know that you have a gift, because you can't shut it off. If you are a prophet, you see stuff that other people just don't see. You can't explain it. If you are creative, you're just always thinking about creativity. You're always functioning in a certain way. That's how you know you have a gift. Well, I'm going to show you on today how the scriptures flow through my mind and how they get to this page. Okay? Now, the Father doesn't just want us to say the name of Jesus, but he wants us to represent the name of Jesus. Our job is to solidify the reputation of our Father. Y'all with me? Now, our first scripture, or set of scriptures, Matthew, the first verse, the first chapter, verse 19 through 25. Now, the scripture I previously gave you, Isaiah 9 and 6, you should go back and listen to that message. It says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called." His name will be called. Now, when I heard that his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty Father, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace. And then I read this scripture. I remember this scripture. And it says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Now, the backdrop of this story is Joseph is getting ready to marry Mary, but finds out she's pregnant and it ain't his. It's a problem, right? And so he was getting ready to divorce her or put her away privately. He didn't want to embarrass her. He didn't want to shame her, but he was getting ready to get rid of her. Verse 20, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." How many of y'all can deal with that? Verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, after hearing the verse, Isaiah 9:6, I thought his name was Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. But here we have an angel coming to Joseph and saying, this woman is pregnant, and she's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are, and the name of the son that she is about to bear is going to be Jesus. Now, this stuff connects in my mind. I'm like, okay, how in the world are they going to name the baby Jesus, but then the scripture says in Isaiah that it is Wonderful, Counselor. I need to know. Now, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is what Jesus means, Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Now, she is finna give birth to a child, and the baby, the human name is Jesus. The job or the calling or the purpose for the human being born is to save his people from sin. Verse 22. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Hold on. What is this man's name? Is it Wonderful? Is it Counselor? Is it Everlasting Father? Is it Prince of Peace? Is it Mighty God? Is it Jesus? Or is it Emmanuel? It's confusing, ain't it? Now, this, and it says, which translated means God with us. So, Wonderful means miraculous. Counselor means he understands the Father plan. Mighty God means he's one with God. Everlasting Father means he's the father of the human movement that is going to bring forth the kingdom. Prince of Peace means that he's going to come from heaven and he's going to bring the peace of heaven to earth. Jesus means Savior. And Emmanuel means God with us. Are y'all confused yet? It's a conundrum. It's a puzzle that we have to put together to get understanding, because we say in the name of Jesus, but we have absolutely no understanding about what that means. All right. Verse 24, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It's a lot, ain't it? Now, the child born is named Jesus. Emmanuel was not the name given to the child when he was born, because Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, but a son is given. So Mary gave birth to the child, but God gave his son. The son is spirit. So when we become God's children, we're not God's children in the flesh. Whoever your mama and your daddy is, that's who child you are. But in the flesh. But in the spirit, you are God's child. It's a separation there. Mary didn't give birth to God. She gave birth to Jesus. God, Christ, the Son, already existed. Jesus was the sacrifice to save his people. So Emmanuel was not the name of the child born, but was the identity of the spiritual or the divine nature of the Son that God would send. Jesus was the sacrifice to save the people from their sins. The Bible tells us, he told some disciples, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He was telling them that this body is going to die. Jesus died on the cross, not Christ. So when Jesus died on the cross, Christ goes down into heaven, takes the keys, snatches the keys from hell, death, and the grave. 3 days later, Christ gets back up, gets in the body, and Jesus resurrects. That's why we are not called the body of Jesus. We're called the body of Christ. We are not in Jesus. We are in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creature. Not in Jesus. In Christ, you are a new creature. The Bible tells us to have the mind of Christ. It doesn't tell us to have the mind of Jesus, because he's trying to get us to have the spiritual mind, not the mind of the person, the flesh, the body. Because Jesus' purpose was to die for everybody. That's not your purpose. Jesus' job was to die to save the world from their sins. That's not your purpose. You could love a person and not be around them. Shay said, show you right. So, after digging into the scriptures, the Holy Spirit connects Isaiah 9 and 6, and then I'm like, okay, he's wonderful, he's the counselor. Then he connects Matthew, but they named the baby Jesus. So after that, let's go to Philippians 2 and 5, 5 through 12. You're going to know today. And it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, side note, whenever you see Christ before Jesus, it's saying spirit before flesh. All right? Because you see Christ Jesus, you see Jesus Christ, you see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was 100% man and he was 100% God. Whenever you see Christ Jesus, it's putting the God before the man. So have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. So now, I'm fast forwarding it. This same Jesus that was a newborn baby, that was prophesied in Isaiah that will come, has now lived his life. He has lived his life. He has glorified the Father. He has went to the cross. He has died. Fulfilling his purpose on the cross, he says, it is finished. What is finished? His purpose. Why he came to earth. So verse 8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So now, like I said, we fast forwarding it. He has completed his mission. He has died on the cross. He has resurrected and he has ascended. Now, this is Paul's ministry. Paul's ministry, he is teaching the Gentiles how to bear the name. Anytime you read the epistles or you read the revelations of Paul, what Paul is doing is he's teaching them, he's spiritually developing them, because the Jews knew God, but the Gentiles did not know God at all. So Paul's ministry is to teach the Gentiles to bear the name. He is spiritually educating the Gentiles on their new life. Verse 9, it says, for this reason also. Now, for this reason also is stating that after he has completed his mission, his assignment. Y'all with me? It says, God highly exalted him because he humbled himself. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Hold on. So in Isaiah, it was talking about the coming of him and that he will be called the wonderful. His name will be the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, all of that. Then when he was born, they named him Jesus, which fulfilled the prophecy of a virgin giving birth and him being called Emmanuel. But now, after he dies on the cross, The scripture said that God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name. He already had a name. He had like eight of them. But now the scripture is telling us that he has bestowed a name on him. So he has another name now. It's a conundrum. It's a puzzle. And this name right here is above every name. Are y'all with me? So this name is above every name. So this name is above Jesus, is above Wonderful, is above Counselor, is above Emmanuel. Why does he need another name? Verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Which means, prior to this, nothing bowed to his name. Everything bowed to the Father's name. When Jesus is out doing ministry, a demon sees him. And he says, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. Another time, a demon sees him and he says, I know who you are. You are the Holy One sent from God. So in earth, he was operating under the name of the Father. I can prove it to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to, it's not on the slide. Turn to John chapter 17. I love teaching because if you don't know something, you'll just walk around acting like you know. And that's what we do in church. We just act like we know. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You're going through all types of drama. You just throwing out cliches. Oh, in the name of the Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful all by itself. No, it's not. The name of Jesus needs you. Because you are in earth. He's in heaven. He's not here. If you don't represent the name, people never see it. This is what he did. Okay. Let me go back here. John chapter 17, verse 6. And this is, I'm going to read them randomly. This is Jesus praying. He's talking to the Father. I'm going to read verse 5 first. He says, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, that's alone. He's saying, give me the glory that we had before you started all this. Verse 6, I have manifested what? Your name. I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have been kept by your word. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. Now, for all of y'all who can't wait to get to heaven, Jesus, in this prayer, says, Father, keep them in the world. So you trying to get to heaven, he's trying to keep you here. Why does he want you here? To represent the name. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name. The name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. He needed another name. Why did he need another name? Because he was representing the fathers. But in Isaiah, it said that he was coming to establish a government. Verse 26. I'm going to start at 25. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them. and will make it known so that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. Huh. Y'all see that? That's why he says, verse 10 in Philippians, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Nothing bowed to his name until he humbled himself and was given a name that was above every name. Now, why do you need to know this? Because nothing bows to your name. Nothing bows to my name. Everything bows to his name. Verse 11 says, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is the Father's plan. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, listen to this, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. We're going to come back to that. Now, in verse 11, the scripture says that he wanted every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I'm pointing out these specific things because I'm going to come back to them. And this is to the glory of the Father. Now, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 28 and 18. And it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, this is the last chapter of Matthew, of the book of Matthew. Jesus has died on the cross, and he is coming to commission his disciples to go out and do work. He comes to them and says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, that all authority was given to him when he humbled himself and glorified the Father and was highly exalted and was bestowed with a name that is above every name. So this is actually a continuation from this conversation in that in Philippians scripture are one. So he comes to them and says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, remember, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and in earth. He comes to them and says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's just pretty much repeating what Paul said. Now, he didn't say in earth because he's coming to establish ministry. There's no establishing of ministry in earth because that's hell. But he's coming to establish ministry on earth. He's about to leave, and he needs them to know the authority has been given to me, and now I'm about to give it to you. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, he's asking them to make disciples, meaning I want you to go and open up a classroom and start teaching people. Who? All nations. So at one time, it was just the Jews. It was exclusively to the Jews, but now it's also to the Gentiles. So he's saying, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Watch this. Baptizing them in the name. Here we go with that again. Baptizing them in the name. Or baptizing them into the name. Now, baptism has many different symbolisms for it. One is the death, burial, and the resurrection. So what happens is, once you believe, you are baptized. Now, what the church has done a lot of times is they baptize people who don't believe. They just baptize people who don't believe. You know why they don't believe? Because they don't even know the truth. They don't even know the purpose of it. So what's supposed to happen in baptism is this. You are supposed to believe and then get baptized. This represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The believing represents death. You have died to your will, and you have now come up under his authority. The death, that represents the death. The burial is the actual baptism of you being laid in water. And then the resurrection is when you are pulled out. Now, this is the purpose of baptism. The baptism really mirrors marriage. Because once you believe, then you are baptized. Now, the believing happens between you and God. But the purpose of the baptism is to let everybody else know. That's the purpose for the baptism. Just like in marriage. When y'all agreed y'all wanted to get married, it was between y'all two. Y'all made that decision. Nobody made the decision for you. When me and my wife decided we wanted to get married, we made that decision. That was our decision before God. The reason why we had the wedding is to let what? Everybody else know the decision that was made in private. But the baptism is into the name. So the baptism is going to take you into the name, or it is going to be a public confession that you are now coming into the name. You are letting us know. Once you are in that wedding, you are letting people know that Shay is going to take Dre's last name. Her name is going to change. That wedding took her into his name. That's what it looks like. Now, the baptism is into the name that represents the Godhead. Now, why do I say that? Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Meaning it's one name. One name, one mission, one direction. It's one name. Now, why do we say in the name of Jesus? Because there is a Godhead. What's the Godhead? What's the Godhead? Can y'all help me out a little bit? I know I need somebody else. I'm trying to get some assistance out here. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We say in the name of Jesus because we came into the family through him. You didn't come in the family through the Father. You didn't come in the family through the Holy Spirit. You came in the family through the finished works of Jesus. This is why we say in the name of Jesus. We don't just say it to be saying it. We say it because now we are in the family of God. We have lost our name because that's what happens when you get married. Now watch this. There's three ways typically you can take on somebody else's name. The first one is marriage. We are the bride of Christ. We're not the bride of the Father. We're not the bride of the Holy Spirit. We are the bride of Christ. So the church takes on who name? Christ. Takes on Christ Jesus' name. Which means we lose ours. So my last name is Hardy. My wife's maiden name, what maiden mean? It was her last name. Her last name was Fleming. When we got married, she lost Fleming. And now she took on my name, which means she's coming up under my mission now. That's why the Bible says that as a husband, that you should leave your parents and cleave to your wife. It doesn't say wife, leave your parents and cleave to your husband, because a wife is always under authority. She's either under the authority of her husband or her father. Why? Because she has their name. Y'all with me? Y'all be looking at me like, sit down somewhere. The other way that you take on the name is through being born, the birth. When you have a child, who name does the child take? The father's, the seed bearer. The other way, so when you are born again, you lost your name and took on the name of Christ. So that's why the Bible says, in everything you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Don't do it in your name no more. Stop doing it in your name. You know why? Because when you do it in your name, nothing bows. Your name has no power. Forget how you do it. That'd be like my wife coming to me telling me how the Flemings do it. I don't care how the Flemings do it. You're Hardy now. You do it in my name. We do it how the Hardys do it. We don't do it how the Flemings do it. Now, you can bring some stuff to me and say, well, this is how the Flemings do it. I think we should do it that way. Okay, yeah, let's do it that way. Now, that's relevant. This is what God is telling us. Stop doing stuff in your name. Forget how you think. It's only one way to love. The love of God. Forget your love. There's only one peace. It's the peace of God. Your peace is peace without is your peace is without conflict. If you have no conflict in your life, that's your peace. God's peace is in conflict, in turmoil. Jesus is on his ministry. His brothers don't support him. The Pharisees against him. The Sadducees against him. The scribes against him. Herod want to kill him. The Jews want to take him out. And he got peace. We lose. Our peace is lost as soon as somebody say something about us. They don't like your shoes. You lose peace. You know why? Because your peace is no good. There's only one joy. Jesus said, I leave you my joy. Why is he leaving us his joy? Because ours is no good as citizens of heaven, as God's children. Because your joy is in stuff. And if you ain't got no stuff, you ain't got no joy. If I take everything you got right now, you lose your joy. I put it on eBay. You lose it. You are now representing his name. And the third way in which you take the name is through adoption. Now, all of these methods are scriptural, and they explain how we got into the name. And the thing about it is, it's all at one time, because we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ as a church. You were born again, and you were adopted. So you lost your name threefold. So when you say in the name of Jesus, it should be because you're bearing that name. You can't say in the name of Jesus and act like. I'll let you fill it in. So the reason why we say the name of Jesus is because we came into the name through Jesus. So it is in the name of Jesus that we do all things. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all the commandments. Well, let me read 19 first so we can get a little segue. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. I was part of a denomination, and this is an argument. Any of y'all in here Pentecostal? Former Pentecostal, because you in here, you ain't no more. Okay. Now, they will argue you to death that if you baptize somebody and you don't say Jesus' name, that baptism is no good. Now, there's nowhere in the English language where baptizing in something means baptizing saying something. How you get that? Okay, let's move on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of ages. Now, he said, teach the disciples that you baptize into the name to observe all that I have commanded you. I'm gonna read that again. He said, Jesus said, teach the disciples, the students, the pupils, the ones you are instructing, the ones that you have baptized into the name, who have given their life to God and have come into the name, he said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, what did he command them to do? That these new disciples need to observe. Practice righteousness. He commanded them to practice righteousness, to pray, to fast, to read the word, to fellowship, and to give. He commanded them to do that. This is what he taught his disciples. He commanded them to love one another as he loved them. Am I in the Bible? Am I in the book? Okay. He commanded them to glorify the Father who was in heaven. Am I correct? Y'all don't be reading y'all Bible, do y'all? Okay. He commanded them to pray to the Father. He commanded them to worship the Father. He commanded them to forgive. He said, if you don't forgive, the Father won't forgive you. He commanded them to heal, to cast out devils, to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. He commanded them to do this. Why? Because all of these things speak of what the name represents. He's teaching them how to function in the family. Take off that old man and put on a new man. Why? You got a new name. You need a new mind. You need a new way of thinking. You were in Adam. Now you in Christ. Two families in heaven. You either in Adam or you in Christ. In Adam, they do things according to Adam's name. Adam's name represents Satan. Now, this is a bonus scripture. 1 Corinthians. Now, this is Paul teaching. Now, I'm going to give you this to further solidify the baptism and some more things. Verse 11 says, for I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's house, that there are quarrels among you. Now, I mean this. That each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, Cephas is Peter, and I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? So what was going on in their ministry was they had certain leaders who were reputable, and Chad was saying, I'm with McKinley. Renee was saying, I'm with Cindy. Paul said, hold on, is Christ divided? Now look at this statement. Paul was not crucified for you, was he? So he didn't die so you can come into the name. Then he says, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? No, you were not baptized into the name of Paul. So don't try to follow me. You need to follow Christ. That's why he told them. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. As I represent the name, you follow me. That's a bonus. Okay, that's our last scripture. Acts 4:12. Now, this is Peter talking, and I was going to do the whole passage of scripture, but we've been here for another hour. Now, in this passage of scripture, Peter heals a man at the gate called Beautiful. And he tells him, the man asks him for some money. He says, silver and gold I have not, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when he does that, it causes such an uproar that the Pharisees and all the governments, they come together. And they tell them, look, stop teaching in that name. Why? Because you're causing the uproar. Why is he causing the uproar? Because they don't represent that name, and this name is showing how weak their name is. And so Peter says this statement in verse 12. He says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven. Under heaven. Now remember, he was given authority. The name that he was given had authority where? In heaven, on earth, and in earth. Then he came and he told his disciples, all authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. So now he's telling them, if you want salvation, there is no one else you can get salvation through. For there is no other name under heaven. Because in Isaiah 9 and 6, it said that he came to establish a government. He didn't come to establish the government in heaven. The government came from heaven. He didn't come to establish the government in earth. He came to establish the government under heaven on earth. So he's letting them know that there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men, the human race, by which we must be saved. So now, if you want salvation, you have to go through this name. If you want to be saved, you have to go through this name. Now, salvation and saved, they're kind of synonymous, but they're not. Under heaven is where the government of God is established as the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of his son, as the kingdom of light. The government represents the name. That's why he told them there is no other name. He told them that because some of them were trying to represent Moses' name, the law. Some of them were trying to represent Herod. Others were trying to represent Caesar. So he had to make a statement, Sierra. He had to let them know there is no other name under heaven given amongst men where you can be saved. Now, save means this: to be rescued from the penalties of sin and death. So when you got saved, you came into the name. And in this name, in this family, now you are saved from the penalties of sin and death. So now the penalties of sin and death only belongs to those who are under Adam's name. So you have been rescued and brought into a new family. This is why Colossians 1 and 13, one of my favorite scriptures, it says that we have been rescued, that he rescued us from the domain of darkness. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son. Saved. That's how that looks. He took the SEAL Team 6 and he went and got you out the family of Adam and he brought you into this family. And now you're saved from the penalties of sin and death. But now salvation is a whole nother beast, because salvation also means to be saved or rescued from the penalties of sin and death. But it has some extra things to it. Salvation is how I function in the new kingdom with a new name. Salvation deals with the health of your spiritual life. Salvation deals with the health of your mind, your heart, your soul. It deals with your body, healing. It deals with your relationships. It deals with your finances. It means that you are delivered from the molestation of the demonic enemy. So Saved means you have been rescued from the penalties of sin and death. But salvation means you have a right to a good marriage. You have a right to not be tormented by the devil. You have a right to peace of mind. You have a right to abundance of blessings. You have a right to finances. Now, you can be saved and never experience salvation. You can be rescued from the penalties of sin and death. You could be in the family of God and still tormented by demons. You could be rescued from the penalties of sin and death. You can be saved and still be sick. Still have a bad marriage. Still have pain in your body. Still have bad relationships. You can be saved and still have these things. So you can be saved and not receive salvation, never come into salvation. And the reason why is because you got saved, but you never acted according to the name that you took on. You were saved, but you still did things in your name and not in Jesus' name. You were saved, but you still followed your natural family. You're saved, but you never had a spiritual family. So you never had people like-minded under the name of Jesus to grow up with and learn from and grow with. In this family, the name is a code of conduct. It is how you carry yourself. You have to carry yourself according to his name. Why? Because you have been born again. Because you have been born again. Because you have been adopted. So you have to carry yourself according to his name now. So we adhere to the name for this reason, because his world responds to our needs, our wants, and our desires based on the name that we represent. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't get blessed until you get poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. There's no blessing until you become meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There are no blessings until you hunger and thirst after his righteousness. That's why the Bible says your righteousness is what? Filthy rags. What you think is right and what you bring before him to try to do right, to get stuff from him, he said, that's filthy rags. I made you right because you have my name. It is through the name that he opens doors and closes doors. He only opens a door if you represent his name. Who in here want a promotion? Huh? You get a promotion by representing his name. Take your butt to work and work. You ever read a scripture in the Bible where it tells you to, when you work for man, to work as unto the Lord? That's what that's saying. Don't work when they watching, and then when they turn their back, you stop. You only gonna work in their presence. You're not representing his name. The Bible says don't repay evil for evil. Because what happens when you repay evil for evil? You go from representing his name to representing evil. Y'all with me? So he opens doors and closes doors based on how we represent the name. So it's how we represent his reputation. So when we got in Christ, we lost our reputation. That's why the Bible said that Jesus made himself of what? Of no reputation. Y'all not reading the Bible, are y'all? This stuff connect. It's a conundrum. You have to piece it together to get it. We have to lose our way of thinking to take on his. I'm going to say it again. There is no blessings in you doing things your way. You get in that word and you find out how he said do it. It's a conundrum. I told you, I wake up in the middle of the night, Ola, and scripture's just, scripture from here, scripture from here, scripture from there. Doing what? Showing us, showing me so I can teach. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance. The more you study and put the word in you, when you're going through situations, they'll connect. If you're going through anything and it's not connecting to the word, you can't hit it. It's because you haven't put it in you. That's why I tell y'all, intentionally put the word in you. Intentionally put the word in you. Because you need to increase your spiritual intelligence. You have this great destiny, this great purpose that God has for you, but watch this. You don't know how to obtain it because you think your way of doing it is how to get it. And then when he don't budge, you start saying, what am I doing wrong? You doing it in your name. That's why he tells me as a husband that if I'm upset with her, this world don't even hear my prayers. It's crazy, ain't it? All right. Y'all get this? I tell you, this is a learning church. This ain't no shouting. No, I wish I would shout. I'd be up here all by myself. But they say when the fool good, nobody talks. Okay? So I'm cool with that. But on a serious note, you need to come on. You're already, how many of y'all in here saved? Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, no. So you're already saved. But that's why I tell them, the reason why we come to church, to one, conform to the image of Christ. Two, to increase your spiritual intelligence. Because when you got saved, you're no longer living from earth perspective. You're living from a heavenly perspective. So all your sins and your understanding has to be aligned on what's going on in his kingdom. So if you're not doing it according to how he doing in his kingdom, you're going to miss it. And you'll be working 80 hours a week and wondering why ain't nothing moving. And then you'll look at somebody who worked 5 hours a week and you're like, why they got all that? Because it's intelligence behind it. He has a purpose and a destiny for you, and it has nothing to do with money. But if you get behind what he has for you and you do it the way he do it, doors open. I wish I could sit. It'll take me all day to tell y'all about the doors it has opened for us. I was telling somebody the other day, when we came to Louisiana, from Louisiana to Atlanta, between me and her, matter of fact, she didn't have a job. Y'all said it. And between me and her, $2,300 a month. Now, before we started the church, we had a house. All right? I had a new truck. And we opened this church with our money. And even if, watch this, and even in starting this church, if we never took up an offering, we could still sustain it. Right now, we're just, the tithes and offering, we're just trying to get the pay for the place. I'm not telling y'all anything that I have not already experienced. Just do it his way. Yeah, you're going to suffer for a while. Why? Because God needs to know this. You don't just want my hand. You want my heart. The children of Israel went through the wilderness because he could have took them. God is all powerful, right? So he could have teleported them from Egypt to the promised land. But he took them through the wilderness so the people who really didn't want it would fall off. So they will fall off. He let a whole generation die in the wilderness because he's only interested in those that want him, that want his name. The whole time what he was doing, he was trying to get them to bear his name. The whole time he's trying to get them to represent, I chose you as a people, I called you out of Egypt, and I want you to bear my name. Killed a whole generation just to get to a generation that will bear his name. This is what's happening in our families. Mama didn't get her purpose. Daddy didn't get his purpose. Grandma didn't get her purpose. Granddaddy didn't get his purpose. Now you struggling to get your purpose. If you don't get your purpose, your kids don't get theirs. If you don't get the vision that God has for you, then your kids struggle to get their vision. Like I told you on Wednesday. Was that Wednesday or Sunday? I don't know. I get it. It's all one now. LeBron James' son is benefiting because his dad is in his vision. You can go on the internet right now and pull up Bronny and this boy on there dunking on every. Why? Because his dad and his daddy on the sidelines. This man got in his vision because of his father got in his vision. Got a lifetime contract with Nike. Living from his dad's kingdom. This is how this looks. He's trying to get us to live from the kingdom that it's already there for us. But the thing we got to do is we got to take on his name. All right. I'm done. Okay. All right, let us bow our heads.